Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy. This is Carrie and Tommy.
The week almost done and dusted. Happy Thursday, Australia, this afternoon. You're with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Afternoon,
I'm
guys.
I'm defying the odds today, guys. I'm defying the odds.
Yeah, she's
I'm
alive.
I'm still alive, 2 days on from my near-fatal coleslaw incident.
Oh, that was disgusting. And then you tried to take me out with it as well.
Well, I got really stressed because after having, if you missed the show, I had a really dodgy, slimy coleslaw and I slept with a bowl by my bed because I thought I was going to get food poisoning and then I didn't. And I was so cocky yesterday until someone told me it can take 2 weeks for the food poisoning to kick in. I've since found out it's about 48 hours. So I think I'm in the clear.
Do you know what I liked about it? That you still buy reduced to clear stuff because it was 40 cents off. It was $3 down to $2.60.
I didn't actually buy it.
Reduced
but
to clear.
But I do like a bit of a bargain. That's why I spend my life at Aldi on a Saturday morning.
Can we talk about something else?
What?
Why are you wearing this smock?
Yeah, what's going on there?
What is going on?
Oh, nothing. It's a long, boring story. I'm wearing what looks like a school shirt. It's not that interesting. I got sent in and I need it. Why are we even talking about this? This is not interesting.
No,
what I want to talk to you about is why
other people aren't wearing smocks and why the trend hasn't caught on yet.
Why? I'm glad that I'm okay because tomorrow, if you've got kids on school holidays at the moment, you live in the Melbourne area.
Carrie may have stolen one of your school dresses. No, that's not what it is. Okay.
I want you to wear your schmocks down to High Point Shopping Centre between 12 and 1 p.m. lunchtime. We're going to celebrate the end of our beanie campaign. Bring your beanie down, bring your kids down. There'll be kids' activities. If you don't have a beanie, it's okay. We'll be selling them there. Pete Helly will be there. Lots of stuff happening.
Oh, great.
We're going to have a huge beanie photo. So come and get your head in the photo. And I won't have succumbed to food poisoning by then.
That's so great.
Yes. And so that's happening 12 to 1 tomorrow in Melbourne. And if you're not in Melbourne,
fly down, get involved. No excuses.
Next year we'll try and go around the country.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And if you do see someone standing there and you think, geez, that schoolgirl looks like Carrie Bickmore. That is Carrie and that is what she's wearing.
If that's not enough of a thrill for you,
yes.
I have a thrilling story coming up in a moment.
I mean, look at what you've just done there. You've spread a bit of joy.
Yeah.
You've teased what's coming up on the show.
I think it's the school uniform. Mm.
It's
working a treat.
The ultimate professional.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So I was at a dinner party the other night, having a great old time with some mates, and I don't actually know how we got to this topic, but we started. I was in a conversation with one half of a couple and I heard the other half of the couple, the wife, start talking about jumping off cliffs. And I was like, what's going on in the conversation over there?
It's gotten grim over there.
So I turned around to that conversation and they were talking about hang gliding. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you run off the cliff.
Yeah, well, you generally have something attached to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Attached to a kite,
and
right?
I've
and you hold it and kind of lie
amazing,
down.
Right. It always looks so peaceful, just gliding around up there. And I'm scared of heights, so I never do anything fun, right? And I heard her talk about, like, quite seriously, I went to the show the other day, the Royal Show, and you know those giant slides? And as you walk, you have to walk up the side of the giant slide in an enclosed area. And I was carrying Evie, and halfway up, I had to sit down and take a breather because it was getting too high.
Did you? And how was Evie? She would have been fine.
She didn't care less. It was, you know, it wasn't even that high.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good. I can't even climb ladders. Okay. I'm really not good. Anyway, that's by the by. But she was talking about hang gliding, and she was saying how much she hated it and how she ran, jumped off. And as she jumped off, she went, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And then they were like, they yelled out as she was screaming, let me down. They were yelling out to her, it's too late. You got to go. And then she ended up having to hang glide for 2 hours up in the air. I don't know much about hang gliding, but I'm guessing it's
like
wind dependent.
Like a wind thing, I guess.
Man,
and
that
she
seems
said
too long.
She was ready to come down after 2 minutes and she had to spend 2 hours hang gliding off a cliff.
I don't mean to get technical about it.
Don't ask me technical because I don't know anything about hang gliding.
Well, I'd need to go to the toy, I reckon.
Toilet?
Yeah.
You probably could. Well, you could up there. Be weird if I don't know how she'd do it, but you could.
But either way, you're strapped to your instructor, right? So you're tandem.
I was just imagining her up there on her own.
You're basically in a sleeping bag with someone. I've seen those things.
Oh, right.
And so, I mean, if I'm peeing, we're both peed on. basically.
Well, then people must not pee.
But that what is if, a way to get you down quicker, though. If they go, hey, it's going to be 2 hours, is
start
it?
Being.
Feel this.
Yeah, because the nurse would get to you too up there.
Well, just yeah. 2 hours, though.
Anyway, it reminded me of the only time I've ever done anything thrill-seeking-ish
okay,
was when I went off the back. What's the thing you do off the back of a boat?
Parasailing.
Parasailing.
Yes.
And we were in this idyllic location and everyone was doing it. And it's usually on like crystal blue water and it's white yep. sandy beaches. And I was like, I've always wanted to do that. I'm going to go do that. And I did it. And because I'm scared of heights, we literally were, I reckon, the boat started and we went up about 10 metres, so not even far. And I started waving to say, get me down. And they thought I was saying how much fun I was having. So they started going, you know, and I was in another country.
Oh,
so
no.
the communication barrier, the language
so what are they
barrier,
doing? Speed up?
Me, no, they just give me the thumbs up, lots of thumbs up. And we're like, yeah. And I was like, no. I want to get down. Anyway, so I went up there and I just spent the 40 minutes that we were up there, every creak of the rope, I was like, this is it. It's done. I'm done. I think by the time I got down, I was in hysterics and crying. It was the most unpleasurable thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Yep.
And I wondered why I ever did it. I knew I was going to hate it. I did it because everyone
says... Did you? You knew you were going to hate it?
I hate heights. The only reason I did it is because everyone says, you should do something like that once in your life. Like my mum jumped out of a plane for her 50th birthday and I watched her and it just looked like the most like liberating, most amazing feeling ever.
What's seen as a once in a lifetime,
that's
all
it.
Of those things, bungee jumping stuff. I remember because I've been was skydiving and I was so excited.
Oh, so you've skydived.
I've skydived and I'm so excited to go skydiving. And I always think I'm the extreme sports guy. I'm always like, yeah, you know.
You do look a bit like you don't have fears or anything, do you?
I mean, I was terrified skydiving, and I had this, I distinctly remember a moment, I was second to jump out of the plane, and when we got up there, you're strapped to another bloke, and I'm terrified, and I'm just, he's my daddy at this point, right? Like, I'm just
you're
like,
clinging on for dear life.
Yeah, I'm in a giant baby Bjorn on his chest, and it's too late to get out of, and my mate jumped out of the plane, and I remember just thinking to myself, well, he's dead. Like, he's just, I've just watched my friend plummet, and then as I shuffled to the door, it's crazy, I thought, not only do I hate this, I saved up money to do this. Like, I've been...
And no one's forcing you to do
it.
That's the
what
thing.
I mean. I've saved up money.
It's like when Chris, my partner, went off the Queenstown Bridge. You can
bungee jump
yeah. right? And we only did it because we were bored and had nothing to do. And he said, why don't I go bungee jumping? Everyone says it's good. He did it. He hated it. And then I was like, what a waste of time. Yeah. Why did you do that?
I saw my bro, because I went bungee jumping with my brother, and he jumped, and I've never heard someone let out a funnier guttural moan. He made that moan. Yeah, you know that moan where you're not in control anymore, and you go, and then it made me laugh so much. And then when he got down, he actually walked over to me, and he goes, wasn't that scary?
Liar. But this is the thing, right? We do these things. Well, I know I do these things to face my fears.
Right.
I don't need to face my fears.
Boy.
I wish I'd never gone, whatever I did, paraboating. I wish I'd never done it.
Don't you also
was.
Feel like there's pressure to say it was good?
Yes.
Because you spent
it
money.
It was terrible. I hated it and I wish I'd never done it. And I'm not doing it again.
Let's talk about that. When did it suck?
When did thrill seeking suck?
Great. I love it. 131060, give us a call. When did thrill seeking suck?
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So we're talking when thrill seeking sucked. Ugh. After I went paragliding, whatever the thing is. I don't know what it's called because I'm never doing it again. Hated it, hate heights, hated it from the 10 seconds into it and had to endure the whole thing. Hmm. Don't know why I did it.
Yeah.
My friend went what's it called? Why can't I work out the name of these
things? I don't
know,
I've never heard you be
hang
such
gliding,
a mum.
Hang gliding.
Such a mum.
Yeah.
My friend went with the kite sail to the ground thing and that was nice, wasn't it, darling? Anyway, I'm not
she
doing it again.
Hang gliding and she hated it. And I was like, why do we do this?
Yeah, save up to do it.
Why do we thrill seek and save up to do it when it's not fun? We got Alistair on the line from Melbourne. When did your thrill seeking suck?
So I was in Thailand and I did the same thing as you. I went paragliding and I weigh quite a lot more than you do. So they've not given me enough run up the beach and ended up running into knee-high water and looking like I was going to face plant.
You've done very well in painting the visual, Alistair. And I'm sure it sucked for you. Was it hilarious for everybody else around?
I thought it was funny, and I had a good time once I was up there, but I really thought I was going to get dragged through the water on my face. So.
And I reckon if you dropped from a height too on water, it would hurt a lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Alistair. You're really getting this segment. Yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about. Danielle, when is your thrill-seeking sucked?
So I wanted to swim with a great white shark for my whole life and pretty much got there, got severely seasick and didn't see a shark.
Danielle, I reckon I've had exactly the same. Did you go to Port Lincoln?
Yes, yes.
I've done exactly the same trip as you. If it makes you feel any better.
What happens on the trip? You go out in a big boat.
Well, because you've got it's a fair trek, depending on where you, unless you live in Port Lincoln. It's a remote part. But then the boat
I used to have my summer holidays in Port Lincoln. It's a great part of it.
Oh, so you know exactly where you're talking about. So it's
you go out to Neptune Island.
Yeah, right. Which is ages away. And then you.
Is it just a gamble if you'll see one? Or do they? Is it one of those ones where they guarantee you'll see a shark?
Nah, they don't care.
It's pretty much a gamble.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel better, Danielle, we met a boat full of guys on the water and they'd been out there for 12 days and they were from the other side of the world. They were all English. They'd come there to see great whites and they'd been on the water for 12 days and not seen any.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Finally to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, when did your thrill-seeking suck?
So I recently came back from Kakadu and I thought I might face my fear of heights by going on a scenic flight. So I paid $500. My fiancé and I went up. He was looking out the window having the time of his life and I was dry reaching in the corner, sweating everywhere, and the pilot apologised to me mid-flight.
That's bad.
Yeah, because
it was awful.
Oh. I'm guessing it's one of those tiny planes,
it's meant to be romantic.
Oh, my God. Oh. I thought I was going to die.
I mean, and again, what a way to spend not just a day, a holiday
and
day.
And $500 too. $500 to vomit in the corner.
$500. How was the sight from there? Well, I saw the bottom of a munt bag the whole time.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shane Chantra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now. I'm not sure if you were watching The Project last night, but we had an interview that I did last week with former Home and Away star Johnny Ruffo.
You know what? I did watch that interview and I you know, obviously he's a very courageous and gorgeous young man and I thought it was great.
Well, he has been diagnosed with a brain tumour. I had never met Johnny before I met him the other day and he, what a great attitude. He's got a really great approach to the whole thing. He's got a huge road ahead, but yeah, he was really kind and very brave to tell his story. If you missed it last night, he talked a little bit about how he found out that he had the brain tumour. He'd been having headaches for a really, really, really long time and he'd put it down to partying and a whole lot of other things happening in his life, as lots of people do when they get headaches. But this particular day, it was a Sunday afternoon, he had such a bad migraine that wasn't going away and he hadn't been out partying and it got so bad that his girlfriend decided to take him to hospital. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
My sentences were not making any sense. My words were jumbled up. And then that's when it sort of became alarming to her. And she said, look, maybe we should go to the emergency department. By maybe 6, 7 a.m. in the morning, I'd slipped into a coma and they had to put me through an MRI, CT scans, and that's where they discovered that it was a tumour.
They discovered a 7-centimetre tumour. They don't know how long. They said it could have been anywhere from 2 to 10 years. It could have been growing in there. And he'd had lots of interesting things. He was talking to me a little bit about how he'd been even depressed and he'd gone to the doctor saying, I'm feeling really depressed. Maybe I've got depression. There was a whole lot of other symptoms and other signs that were being, you know, kind of dealt with. And they believe it was all leading to this tumour that was putting pressure on parts of his brain. So when he looks back at the years before, he sees how things had been changing, but he hadn't noticed.
Do you reckon, I know this might sound like a bad analogy, but is partying for a young man or a young woman kind of the equivalent of turning your radio up in the car when you hear something clanging? Like if you have any of these issues, because you're partying, right? He admits he was quite a party animal,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Because you're partying, you just think everything's that.
So related
it's just,
to that.
You're just like, oh, no, yeah. I'm sure it's just that. Like even you're feeling down, you know, you've probably had a couple of big nights during the week and you're like, I'm feeling flat, but it's partying, it's partying.
And also, when anyone's got anything, you don't want to think it could be the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So you don't let your mind go there. But one of the hard things was his girlfriend who had come to the hospital with him was sent home. Because they said, look, it's a migraine, you know, go home and rest. But then they had to call her in the morning and say, someone needs to come in and sign him in so that he can go and have brain tumour surgery, and this is what he had to say.
She was the only person I had here, so she had to sign off to do the operation, and the surgeon said to her that there was a 1 in 20 chance that I would die from the operation.
I mean, that's a huge thing for your girlfriend have to do, to sign off. I mean, there's no option. His parents live in Perth and, you know, he didn't have a choice. But she, you know, she did do that, and I'm sure it's been a really hard road ahead for her as well. Anyway, he had the surgery. It was a success. He's feeling really positive about the whole thing, and he's just finished radiotherapy. I think he might finish today or tomorrow. Now he starts chemotherapy. And, you know, they've said to him that, you know, they got 95% of it, so they're feeling positive about things. But it was just, yeah, it was really, I think for a lot of people, they found it shocking, particularly when he talked about what would have happened if he hadn't have gone to the hospital that night.
The surgeon said if I hadn't gone to the hospital that night, I would have died in my sleep that night.
Whoa.
Like, that's a huge thing to think about. And for his girlfriend, to, you know, she had the smarts to go, I think we've got to go to emergency, you know.
Also, and I know, I mean, I know you talked about this in the chat, but going from seemingly, although he's getting headaches and stuff, thinking he's 100% healthy, to nearly dying.
I know. Like,
you know,
absolutely.
In the space of one day.
Mm. Anyway, he's now a ambassador for Walk for a Cure, and he's, you know, going to do great things.
Yep.
So I really appreciated his time, and I think people learnt a lot watching it as well.
Great.
Let's talk about e-cigarettes. Big news today. Tobacco giant Philip Morris is committing to a smoke-free Australia.
So yeah, I saw first this. You think,
yeah. Oh, right. Interesting. They've told a federal parliamentary inquiry on electronic cigarettes. So that's the, what do you call them?
The vapes.
The vapors.
The vapes. Yeah.
That technology is transforming their business away from cigarettes in favour of reduced risk alternatives. So they're saying they're committed to transitioning away from cigarettes as soon as possible. And they've said more than 3 million smokers worldwide have switched to the vapours, which is a different form. It's how would you describe it? I'm not someone that's ever smoked
It's meant to be smoke-free, but it gives you nicotine. It gives you a nicotine hit anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't, it's not meant to have those harmful things of the smoke. But
currently, what are you allowed to put in there?
Nothing. I think
you have to import
it all. Yeah, right.
So currently, what are you breathing in?
Like, that's what I mean. I think you're importing all the stuff.
So is it a safer alternative?
Sorry, all the stuff that has nicotine in it.
Yeah. It's just the smoke that you're not.
Yeah. I think it'll be like cane toads. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, this will fix that. But it'll just end up being.
It's just a way of, yes.
We'll reveal some point down the track, oh, there was something in those that, you know, caused some horrible thing to happen to your body.
Finally, let's end on a high.
Okay. A vaping high.
A dog with a long tongue.
I saw this gorgeous thing.
So a canine with a ridiculously long tongue has entered the Guinness World Records. His name is Mochi Moo Rickish. He's an 8-year-old Saint Bernard. Someone told me last night it was a Saint Bernard. It's not, is it?
It's
a Saint Bernard.
That person is a wonker.
He is English, and he was very sure it was Bernard. He said, you're saying it wrong. And I said, I think it's a Saint Bernard, not a Saint Bernard.
A Saint Bernard.
He's my uncle.
Actually,
uncle
it makes
Bernard.
It sound a bit funner. Saint Bernard.
Anyway,
it's a Saint Bernard.
This dog's from South Dakota. He set a new record with a tongue measuring a whopping 18.58 centimetres. When you see, we had some vision of this last night. It's enough. It actually made me feel a little bit sick. It brought up some sick in my stomach.
18.
For some reason, this is really weird. For some reason, I imagined kissing it. Because you know when, like.
That is weird.
That is very weird. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, obviously, I'm not kissing a dog. But
so
you see,
18.5 centimetres.
You know when people love their dogs and the dogs lick them and stuff, and it's just. And then it's all tongue. It was so much tongue.
That's a lot of tongue. So 18.5 centimetres. That's
big. Think a 30 centimetre ruler.
That's not what you just held up with your hands.
That's a 30-centimetre ruler.
Mate, that is not 30 centimetres.
You show me what a 30-centimetre ruler is. That is not. That's 15.
Well.
Caitlin, what's a 30-centimetre ruler? That or to what Tommy's doing right now? Pickers. Yes, thank
you.
No
way.
MC, give us
your 30-centimetre ruler. What a fascinating game for the listeners.
This is radio. No one can understand what's happening here. Everyone at home in their cars knows what 30 centimetres look like. And this dog's tongue was 20, so.
Not everybody knows what 30 centimetres looks
like. Well, most people other than you do.
That's not.
Gone through school. They had their ruler in their pencil case.
If you want to imagine what kissing this dog would be like, by the way, there's a photo of the really long tongue and the dog on our Instagram. So you can take a look at Carrie Tommy Show.
A photo. We've photoshopped it, and Bickers is actually making it with the dog. You didn't know we did that, but it's a bit of fun.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hey, sometimes we can get a little bit gutter on this show.
You can.
We can.
Yeah.
You can.
Oh.
You just bring me down, drag me down into your world.
That is actually not true. Who got told to stop swearing on here?
That was me.
Who gets their bits out every day?
That's me.
Yeah, there we go.
It's you that makes me do it, though.
Yeah, that's not true. Don't do it in that voice. It makes it sound like it actually is. But
what have you got for us?
Well, I'm going to lift you out of the gutter.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to try and make us all a bit smarter. You know when you hear those little fun facts and they just rock your world,
yes.
And they're great
and
then
you
to
repeat
then tell
them
people?
To everybody.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I thought that's what we do. MC, let's do the first ever version of this.
Blow our minds. Blow your
mind. Wow. All you have to do is ring in 131060, give us your thing and see if you can blow our minds. For example, Bickers, bananas, why do you reckon they're curved?
Because they grow down off the tree, so they try to get back to the tree or something.
Oh, not bad, but the opposite. It's because they're trying to get up towards the sun.
Oh, they grow up, so they don't
curve.
Grow down.
Well, they go down, but then out and curve up to try and go, oh, there's a bit of sunlight there, a bit of sunlight there, you cheeky boy. Oh, you've ripped me off the tree.
Amazing.
Great. That's our minds being blown.
That
all
is
right.
Good.
Blow our minds, 131060.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
You could just hold our hands as we attempt to do something for the very first time.
Blow our minds.
Blow your mind. Wow. It's just those fun little things.
Each of us all holding hands together.
Is
yeah,
it?
It's yeah, nice.
It is.
Okay.
I like it. I'd hold our listeners' hands.
Hey, another one. Do you know jewellery came from back in the day when you used to have gold and stuff as wealth, but before there was money, you used to wear it around your neck because that's where you'd store it, right, for safekeeping so no one would rob you. And so that's where modern-day necklaces and stuff come from.
Oh, are our minds blown by that?
We don't even need... Well, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I reckon our listeners can do better, though.
It's a big sound effect.
Blow our mind.
Did you know that bananas are actually herbs?
What? Ooh. Herbs?
Herbs.
Yeah.
Is this a bit of the tomato is a fruit?
And a little bit.
Yeah. What do you mean bananas are herb?
Well, they grow in a what's the word? Like a bunch. So they're classified as a herb. Hit up
by
Google, it'll
by you or by
that's what classifies a herb if it grows in a bunch.
I'm Googling.
Is
a banana a herb? Is the top thing when you write it says, is banana a herb? That's the first thing. The banana plant is called a banana tree in popular use, but it's technically regarded as a herbaceous plant or herb, not a tree.
Sam, I don't doubt that you're correct. The problem I have with it is it falls into that category for me of facts that you say at parties and then nobody likes you.
Okay, so explosion.
Those ones that they get you on a technicality?
And it's also, it's the banana plant that's classified as a herb, not the actual banana.
Oh, now you've gone back. You've gone at a technicality with a technicality here. We have managed to make this boring quickly, haven't
Let's go to a 10-year-old. He's sure to make this interesting. Okay. Taj, blow our mind.
Hi, guys. Did you guys know that if you leave a jellyfish in the sun, that it will evaporate?
Oh, you've done it for me,
that's pretty good. Give him a bomb.
Yep.
Every single panda is owned to China.
Okay, you've gone from boy our minds to very racist very quickly there, Tash. I reckon.
Is that true? Wang and Foonie owned what?
I don't know. I get scared by saying anything in the world is owned by China. Does that mean they all come from there? Maybe we should get Taj back, Get Taj back. Taj.
You dismissed Taj.
I'm sorry.
Now you want to know more.
I'm sorry. It got into very.
Where did you get that info from, Taj?
Oh, well, I got it from my teacher. We were after class and we were just talking and then she goes, I learned lots of useless stuff today. And then she said that the jellyfishes evaporate and that the pandas are owned by China.
All the pandas are owned by China. Here I was thinking, buddy, Wang Wang and Foonie were a bit of fun.
Spies.
You thought they were owned by Adelaide. Yep. So are they on lease? Do you reckon that's what they are?
I think we've talked about this far longer than
Let's
we need
on.
To, Sean. Finish us off and blow our minds.
Hi, guys. Did you know that a cucumber is 80% water? You're welcome. Have a good day.
No, that was
just for the confidence alone.
Doesn't everybody know that?
I didn't know that. I know lettuce was 80% water. Is it? I just made that up, but it's a lot of water. But either not cucumbers.
Well, I guess consider me blown, guys. We
what
are
do we
done
think?
Here.
First crack of the segment success.
Are our hands still
I'm
holding?
I'm confused, and I don't know what China owns, but I'd like a written form.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Taj was right. 10-year-old Taj was right. I've just Googled it. China owns almost all the pandas in the world. Every time China has sent a panda to a foreign zoo in the past 10 years, they've required an agreement that China owns the panda and its offspring. Well done, Taj. You blew our mind.
10-year-olds are the smartest. Why are we doing this job? Get Taj in here. Absolute rocket. Police 10-7, what do you know about it? Anything?
I have no idea what you're talking
it
about.
It is a Kiwi cop show similar
Why
to
Why would
our,
I know about it?
Because it's the best, right? Okay. The cop is always really nice and really, really lovely, and the people are always really funny.
Okay, so what sort of show? They arrest people, they pull them over?
Exactly like any of our cop shows here,
right? Not a drama, real life, like reality.
Exactly.
Okay, and, Police 10-7.
Yes, and the other day I saw the most amazing, flamboyant young man on there. Listen to this.
I've got a myth on me, but if I pulled a bag of sugar out when she put me on TV, hi, I'm getting arrested for drunk driving or something.
What's this guy?
Can you arrest me?
No, I can't.
Oh, got nice eyes, though. Police of New Zealand are comfortable with the homosexual population. That's good, that's good. Oh, hi. If you put me on TV, I honestly give you a
What? And I just thought
you fell in love.
I need to know this man, right? I thought our show goes all around Australia.
Yeah.
You know what we don't have?
What?
We don't have a Kiwi correspondent. I got Kaylin, our producer, to do a bit of digging. We found out his name's Daniel.
Yeah.
I called him earlier,
right?
And this is how it went. Is that Daniel?
Hi, how's it going?
Daniel, this is Tommy from Hit FM. I'm bloody great, mate. How are you?
I'm so good, thank you. What's up,
Daniel? Are you my favourite person in the world?
Most probably.
I saw you on Police 10-7. We're looking for a New Zealand correspondent on our show.
Yes.
I mean, do you reckon you'd be up for the gig?
I would definitely be up for the gig. I'm definitely looking forward to working with you. I'm amazed.
Okay, you've moved forward too quickly. I need to do a brief interview process. Why do you think you'd be a good correspondent?
Oh, well, it depends on what sort of things you want correspondence on, you know? Like, as long as I've got something to talk about and I feel like there's a purpose to me talking about it, you know, I'll be quite good at researching and speaking on the subject.
Just tell us, what did you do on the weekend? Are you as wild as you came across?
I mean, yeah, I can go out to events every weekend if I want to, but there has to be something to go out for at the end of the day. And I live in Hamilton in New Zealand, so...
Okay, tell us about Hamilton. I don't know anything about Hamilton.
It's quite a small town. There's only like 100,000 people. There's no gay bar, which doesn't really suit me that well. for me, there's not really much going on.
So what do you do if there's no gay bar? Do you just spot the gayest looking bloke at the straight bar? What's
I mean, there's no really, at the end of the day, there's no such thing as a straight guy. There's only tops and bottoms. So.
I love you so much. If you reset Grindr in Hamilton, is anybody coming up?
You know, I can see to up to 50 Ks away on the one grid without extra. So, yeah.
Right. Let's just do a quick, like, practice cross, because I've got to play this to my co-host, right, and see if she rates you. So just be loose. Don't overthink this too much. I'm just going to give you some rapid-fire questions, and you just tell me the answers as quickly as they come to your head.
Yes.
Okay, we're going live to Hamilton now. Daniel, what's the scene like on the ground there?
The scene on the ground here, it's really busy at the moment. The school holidays have kicked in, and the traffic's going crazy. I just can't believe it's this end of the year already. Term 4 is about to start.
Oh, I can't believe it. And what is the biggest issue in Hamilton right now?
Biggest issue in Hamilton is all the break-ins that are happening for cigarettes. People are just, like, driving into gas stations in their cars late at night and, like, stealing everything they can. They're walking with hammers and killing people. It's crazy.
They're stealing durries and killing people, and you went with stealing durries first as the bigger issue of the two.
Well, yeah, I guess only the one guy died, you know, but...
Okay, and so how much can you buy a pack of black market durries for?
Black market durries are $1 a gram, so it's like $30 for a 30 gram versus the $50 to pay in store.
Bloody hell, that's not bad. And what's the smallest issue in Hamilton right now?
Smallest issue in Hamilton right now, the fact that, oh no, I don't know. Too much. That's my issue in Hamilton.
Daniel, I think you're the best. I hope to speak to you again next week.
You can follow me if you like on Snapchat. It's the Daniel Show. I'm sure to bring some stories out soon.
Get around the Snapchat.
Yes!
Yes! Thanks, Daniel!
Cheers, man. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, I must admit, right, there was bits in there that I probably would have edited out.
What's he going to be our correspondent for? Like crime reporter or
anything?
Laughing a lot about the dead man.
Anything in New Zealand? What do you think?
Does he know the tone about 3 PM? I feel like some of his content was not appropriate. So I don't know if you should be like screening these people. Yeah. I think it's better for me to screen them.
I've already told him he's got the job. I'm sorry.
No. Oh, now I'm going to be the. Oh.
Judge him again next week.
Sure.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I can see the boss coming around the corner. I think she wants to chat
with you.
The Carrie and Tommy catch-up is ready to podcast now on Radio App or iTunes.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Carrie Tommy Show.